Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 62, On the Way, Do What You Can't. Today is Friday, August 29th, 2008. Let's see, how about I try to make a saint out of me? Yeah.
St. Paul the persecutor was a cruel and simple man. Jesus hit him with a blinding light, and then his life began. I said yes. I said yes. Augustine knew temptation. He loved women, wine, and song, and all the special pleasures of doing something wrong. I said yes. I said yes. Come on, y'all. When You'll never make a sign of me.
Thank you for joining me today. Yes, you are at the right podcast. This is Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, where in a few minutes you're going to hear Pastor Paul's message on the way, do what you can't, like try to make a saint out of you. Did you find yourself singing along to that song? Pastor Paul's message was originally recorded February 8th, 1985, on a Friday night. Pastor Paul at that time had messages he delivered both on Friday and Sunday. So one of my favorite songs by the Rolling Stones, Saint of Me, I'll put a link in the show notes, which you will find at Pastor Paul's blog, and that is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you can subscribe to the podcast, and you can also make a comment. You can also call our comment line, and that number is 1-715-808-0318. Make a comment just like voicemail, and if you want, mention that you'd like me to play that on the podcast, and we'll put that on in the next show, which will be next Friday. And the name of that message you don't want to miss is called Anger, Resentments, Hate, Fear Are Not the Way. But then again, we knew that, didn't we? You want to listen for that one. That's next Friday. Pastor Paul's Tongues of Fire podcast has a new episode every Friday, so you can pick that up right here. And be sure to tell your friends, or you might want to tell some of your enemies. Maybe they'll become your friends. Bring them here to the podcast. You're going to get a lot out of the messages. Now, today's message really ties in with this song. Let's look at the song. I do believe in miracles. I want to save my soul. But you'll never make a saint of me. I think he's talking to himself. Wants to do it, doesn't think it's possible. Exactly what this message is about. Pastor Paul starts the message by saying, I can't believe. That's where we get into it, where we can't believe. And that if we only believed, all things are possible, and that we have to go beyond what our believing, our non-believing is. We have to only believe. And a lot of that has to do with, he mentions, what people think of us, what we think of ourselves, and what God thinks of us. Now, what others think of us, sometimes we will act according to what we think we should act like because of how other people see us. What we think of ourselves has a lot to do with how we are not fulfilling what we could do because we are carrying too much baggage. And how Christ sees us, how God sees us, is a perfect work without baggage, that you are evolving into the being that he intended for you to be. What is that song? Be All That You Can Be? I think that's an army recruitment song or something. Well, this is exactly it. Be all that you can be in the Lord. So he talks about this really good. He has such good examples. He uses the example of when you find yourself in that. Of course, first you have to know the Lord, because that's the only way. You can't do it yourself. You cannot make a saint of yourself. God, when you receive the Lord, you become a saint immediately, period. That's it. And so basically, then you make a U-turn when you find yourself slipping, when you're acting the way you think you should act, when you're carrying baggage of the past or your attitudes or resentments or anger or fear or hate, you make a U-turn. You turn around. And another example he uses is about an artist, how an artist takes something and makes something out of nothing. For instance, a stone. And he has a vision of what that stone is going to be. When we look at the stone, we see a stone. We don't see the vision. That's where we have to only believe in God so that we allow him to work in us, to change us into what we're supposed to be. And this is a good one. Lose your littleness. Aren't we little? Aren't we limited? We just think so many times so limited. And then people that have big ideas and big visions, and a lot of times we'll just, that isn't going to work, or negative or whatever. Lose our littleness. Think big. Go for it. You know, inspirational. And can anything good come out of North Minneapolis? This is really good. If you're from North Minneapolis, you know what I'm talking about. He uses the example of how the disciples, when they found out that Jesus was from Nazareth, they said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Okay, yes, Jesus came out of Nazareth. And Pastor Paul, in this message, wow, he prays, and I mean, unbelievable about North Minneapolis. So feel the vibes in this podcast for North Minneapolis. Can any good thing come out of North Minneapolis? I think it already has. Great message. Call with your comments and be sure to tell your friends and especially your enemies to listen to Pastor Paul's Tongues of Fire podcast. It's a good one. And I will see you back here next Friday for anger, resentments, hate, fear are not the way. Know anybody that has those issues? Well, maybe we do. I know. I've run into that myself in the very recent past. Baggage I've got to lose. Thank you for joining me. Have a great week. God bless you, and we'll see you back here next Friday.
Tonight's message is entitled, On the Way, Do What You Can't. On the way, do what you can't. So many times we hear people say, I can't do it. It's beyond me. But listen here, folks. Everything is can to those who will believe. Do you ever notice that people that can't believe like to be around people that can believe? And then when you get them into the believing just enough, they wander off and they get into their own believing. Then all of a sudden there's this one and that one and so on like that, and you got to believe for them again. God. And you spend half of your day on the telephone. And what they're really saying is, I can't believe. Help me to believe. Woo. See, we must learn how to go beyond ourselves. All things are possible, it says. Only, my God, only believe. Well, now, when you preach like that and when you believe like that, God says, I'm going to test out your believing. And things don't always seem to go right. But you go right on believing that God will work it out. All things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. They'll work out. It will work out. Hallelujah. Now I'm finding as I minister to all these folks that a healthy mind is a harness mind, something that's in harness. Do you ever hear these people call each other scatterbrains? That's because their mind isn't in harness. It's scattered, and it's this thought and that. Scatterbrains. And so all those scatterbrain ideas, and they're going all over doing nothing. And so we have to have a harnessed mind, under control, obeying the Lord, disciplined. Oh, how we need to discipline our minds. I'm so grateful when I look down and I see Jim down here. He's disciplined himself. And brother, are you disciplining yourself? And you know, you say you're going to do something, and you just go ahead and do it. Disciplined. And I know you all here do that. But we have to pick out one or two during the evening. And you're disciplined to do that thing and follow it through. Oh, that gladdens my heart when I see a person that's got their mind harnessed to the Lord, to the thoughts of the Lord, to the Word of God. What is that song? It takes a directed mind to follow a directed work. Whew. See, if our minds are not directed towards God, we have no direction. And we just sort of got a scatterbrain idea, and we're always looking for someone to believe for us. And when we run into that person that believes for us, they're all right at first, but pretty soon they begin to be silly. Oh, that'll never happen. And they fall right back into that unbelieving, my God. So you have to start all over again. Say amen, somebody. I'm commencing to believe, folks, what the Christian church has to do is said, if you believe, then follow me. And don't stand back here on point one trying to get somebody to believe, but to simply go forward towards a high mark of calling in Christ and be an example and stop trying to get people to believe. That's why there were only 12. They believed, and others followed. Well, when the going got a little bit tough, there was some 488 of them dropped out. Say amen, somebody. But see, someone has to take the reins and someone has to believe right on through, and I believe that's our church. I believe God's chosen a great group of people. Say amen, somebody. Now, if that makes you folks on the radio or listening to this tape a little bit jealous, well, that's your problem. That's the way I see it, and I think we can lift one another up once in a while too, don't you? But I think we have to have a good work. I think it's better still to have our work that's grounded and led by the Lord. And so that the Lord can work through us. You know how you know when God is working through you? You get on a roll. You know what I mean by getting on a roll? You get on a roll and it just seems like it isn't going no place. And all of a sudden, and it starts on a roll. And as long as you're directed by the Lord, you're going to stay on that roll, and it's going to get done. Say amen, somebody. Through all the difficulties and through all the trials and through all the tribulations, it's going to get done because you're on a roll, hallelujah. Are you hearing this? And so our work should be to let Him work. John 6 and 29 bears out what I'm saying. What must we do to perform the works of God? This is the work of God, to believe. All you have to do, my God, is to believe. God is the one that works it out, hallelujah, through you. Only believe, do it. Now, you believe in something, don't you do it? You believe you can get in the car and drive it? Then what do? You get in to do it. You believe you'll receive something tonight? Glory to God. And you sit down and you do it. You put all of your power in your mind and say, oh my God, give me every little vestige of power that I have within me. Glory to God. And bless it, Lord Savior Jesus, and bless it so that I'll hear that word. It'll quicken to my heart and drop down from the frontal lobes and down into my soul. Hallelujah. And let me work it out for you, Lord. And He will. Say amen, somebody. Woo! See, because when we're believing, then we're really working. The moment that we start to believe, that is the moment we start to work. then we know it's working. Now, you tell the little junior here that he's going to be able to take one or two steps. He doesn't believe you all at once. Grabs a hold of the Davenport, nee, nee, na, nee, no, no, and he makes it over to the coffee table, falls down, bumps his head. Huh? You prop him up again. And pretty soon he stops, he takes a step, and he forgets about himself. He forgets about himself, and he forgets about being self-conscious, and he sees something that he desires, and that's the way God is. He puts something out in front of you, just like a donkey with a carrot. Got me? You hearing it? And he gives you something to go for. But you got to believe when you see that thing that God wants you to go for it. Did you ever say that to yourself? Let's go for it. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God loves that. When somebody says, let's go for it. Let's go after the carrot. Let's toddle over from the coffee table and make it over to that bonbon over there sitting over that way. Something to go for. Hey, we got heaven we're going for. We're on our way to heaven. And it says things are getting better every day. Well, now, if you don't believe that, I can't make you believe that things are getting better every day. You're thinking things are going to get worse every day. Then things are going to get worser and worser and worser and worser until you're in a dunghill. Say amen, somebody. Now, I have to mention this. I think there's a whole lot of people listening to me right now that are sitting on top of a dunghill because they doesn't want to believe. Well, that's where you're going to be. In the dunghills of doubt. In the dunghills of unbelieving. What a place to be and what a stench. But when we are believing, then we are really working. Because we are a channel for the infinite one, our Lord God, to work through. Don't you like to see your children pick up your characteristics and they watch you, they imitate everything that you do. See these commercials on the TV and the little kid, dad kicks the tire and the little kid, he looks around and he walks over and he kicks the tire. And he walks just like his dad, see? Best he can, he walks, yeah. And see, we have one to imitate, Jesus Christ. And we have the testimony of Jesus Christ right here. We have the Spirit living right inside of us. And don't we just love it when our little ones pick up the spirit of joy and you hear them laughing? Hey, God loves to hear his people laughing and having a good time. Say amen, somebody. Them little teeny babies, when they start to gurgle and laugh and so on, you just can't contain yourself. It feels so good when they laugh, doesn't it? When they start to laugh and they're in there and they just get just so tickled and they just laugh. You say, listen to that little one laugh. It's just coming from the inside out. They're turning themselves inside out with joy and it just turns you inside out. Are you hearing this? Let's start doing what we can't. Let's start to repent. You can't do that by yourself. Or you walk up to the altar every other day. I'm sorry, so sorry that I was mean to you. Huh? Let's start doing what we can't do by relying on the Lord. You can't repent. You cannot repent without God's repentance. Did you know that? Because you're not really sorry. It has to be a godly sorrow. So many times I thought, oh God, I'm sorry. Why was I sorry? Because someone caught me being unchristian. Do you mean open, overt sins? No, I'm not talking about sex and booze. I'm just talking about attitudes now. Someone caught you with your face hanging out. Someone caught you saying, shut up. Someone caught you talking to yourself. It's like today, Carpenter was doing some carpentry and he was talking away and he'd come out and he said, oh, I always talk to myself. I thought, well, you're not very nice to yourself, that's for sure. let's start doing what we can't do, forgiving. Did you ever try to forgive someone by yourself? Did you? It does not work. Did you ever try it? I mean, all by yourself without the spirit of repentance. Can't do it. I know there's a lot of folks listening say, I can. I said I was sorry. I'm a man of my word. Well, why are your knuckles all white and your teeth clenched and your eyes bugging out? Well, last. Let's start doing what we can't do. Love. Did you ever hear someone talk and they sound just like love is filling them all day? And you know it is impossible by the way. Look, their face betrays what they say on the basis of the way it looks. And they say, God's just filling me with his love all day long. Continually pulsating through me. Filling me! Oh no. You can't do that by yourself. You can't stop gossiping. You that are having problems with drink, you can't do it by yourself. You can't stop lusting by yourself. You can't stop yourself from listening to gossip. The only way you can do it is to believe, hallelujah, that God is going to work through you and do that perfect work, hallelujah. You know what I like about my ministry? Because it's not me. I know it isn't me. It's exciting, it's revealing, and it's free. It's not I that live, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. Glory to God, and I know it because I'm doing things I can't do. Can't possibly do them. Don't want to do them. Have no desire to do them. Hate to do them. Oh, you've exposed yourself. Now we know. Until that we come to the realization that we can do nothing. Jesus says, ye can do nothing without me. Until we come to that definition of the word, knowing that that is Bible, you aren't going to do a thing in God. Nothing. Say amen. Do you like to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning? No. Do you like to counsel somebody at 1:30 when they come on with the same old whine at 1:30 every night? No. But when you let the love of God get down inside you and cause a repentance and cause a godly spirit of forgiveness to enter into you, you will then mix together with that the spirit of joy in obeying him. And those that obey him, love him. When you start to love God and you start to laugh in the Lord, oh, God is so pleased. Then the spirit takes over and the flesh has to bend to the spirit. Glory to God. And you know, you're doing things you can't do by yourself. You love people. How does it happen? I don't know. But it happens. The things I used to love, I hate. And the things I used to hate, now I love them. Smoking, I used to love that. Now I can't stand the smell of it. Boozing and adultery and pornography and all those things. I have no desire for them. What changed me? What's changing you? Love your enemies. I can't do that. But when you do love your enemies by the Spirit of the Lord, you don't have no enemies. Isn't that wonderful? And then your enemies start to give to you. Call it a double bonus, if you will. But I know one thing, it works. But don't get all puffed up when they do and say, aha, I learned a secret. They'll just stop giving to you. I'm talking about doing the things that we cannot do. Glory to God. I had a person come up to me one time and say, I don't see God in you. Or I heard this, or I heard that. Oh, and then I heard a person say, well, I wouldn't have believed it But I planted the same seed I received in others, and it grew right away. Of course it did, because you were living in the same dunghill that they were, self. Years ago, I had a message. It was on Christian Boy Dummies. Do you remember that message, anybody? And then I had one on how women are used by God. Then I had a whole lot of very insincere, superiority, inferiority men, and they really showed their true selves. They came up by the numbers. I was attacked. It got bitter. It got to backbiting. It got gossipy, and it got sick. But praise God, I thought, a lot of things were revealed to those people and to those men about things that needed healing. Now, I told these men, I says, I preached at least 30 messages about men leaders and really laid some very heavy ones on your wives. That was all fine. You said, preach it, preach it. And you stood up in your seat. Oh, my. But I said, you see, now we need a balance. We need a balance, so let's balance one to the other. Otherwise, your wife is sitting way up here on the teeter-totter. And you're way down here, or she's way down there, and you're way up here. You're too heavy. How many hearing this message? I think a lot of times men are threatened if a woman, you know, that's like I a lot of times put women in charge of this or that, and men get threatened by it. Did you know that? Isn't that way down here? But I mean, in some places, they are. They're threatened by it. You know why I started using women all the time? Because I couldn't find no men, that's why. It's truth. We got them in this church, though. The ones that are left are really men. Praise God for you. That's the truth about it. You're not threatened by somebody taking over a praise paper or working on this or working on that. You're not threatened by it. See, because it's all the work of the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Somebody. And they have great big colossal arguments over who's the greatest. Be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all. But anyway, wherever I go, I find there are enemies. And God says, if you'll do what you can't bless them, then I'll bless you. You know what? It works. You know, if you don't believe it, it won't work. That's hard to believe that. Bless that guy after what he said to me? Lord, there must be some mistake. No, that's what I said it, what I meant. I said it, and I'm glad. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, I'd like to project into the year 1990. That is, if everything is going to work out according to my expectations. But God says, go by faith. Then it goes on. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That's what I'm working for. By faith, and it goes on, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, at that as many descendants as the stars in heaven are numbered, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And it was all done by what? Faith. Done by faith. And then we have in Hebrews 11 and 33, by faith, Rahab, the harlot, did not perish along with those who did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me. And then he goes on, who by faith conquered the kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword from weakness, were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. By what? By faith. And then it goes on in verse 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Something to go for. Something beyond. You listening on the radio, you need to go beyond yourself. Now you're having some kind of a little problem. Go beyond yourself and go to Jesus. Go beyond that care and that worry and that fear, and go beyond that. And you got something certainly to go for when you go for Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, and not only the author, it says, but the perfecter of faith. Well, I don't know. I'm so weak in my faith, and I'm just able to take one little neeny nonny noony baby step, and I'm afraid I'll fall down and hurt myself. Well, take that baby step. Fix your eyes. You ever notice when you got the kid to look up, and then he's like, come on to daddy, and he's looking up at you, and then you'll take, before he even knows what's going on, he's fixed his eyes on you, and you fix your eyes on Jesus. Even if you're taking those little baby steps, they will be perfected. Oh, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners, glory to God, against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Do you get to feeling kind of weary, do you? Look at the author and finisher and the perfecter of your faith. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Jesus did. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. Oh, I heard that before, but you didn't obey it. Oh, you heard it so many times, Christians. I heard that. I went to a big study on it. We studied for 17 weeks on disciplining ourselves to the Lord. I'm sick of hearing it. Well, you never listened, or you wouldn't be sick of hearing it. You became dull of hearing. You ever talk to somebody and they don't hear you? They zombie out on you? And it's a drone in their ears. And they go. Shake their head. They didn't hear you. Someone asked me one day, hey, I told that person a dozen times. I said, well, hey, they didn't hear you. What do you mean? They were standing there and I seen the ears hanging off the side of their head. I said, that's right, they were hanging there. They weren't doing nothing. They're just hanging around. And then you say something else. That's all they hear. It's a foreign language because they're not open to hearing. It's like a foreigner speaking to them. And you look at them and you say, didn't you hear what I said? And I'll say it again. And that's where Christianity is right now today. Sounds silly, do you? It's the truth. It is the truth. People aren't listening. Are they? Oh, God, you're not listening. I know. You give a command to go left and they go right. You give a command to get up and they lay down and they go to sleep. Now, would you call that dull of hearing? I would. You know what's worse than dull of hearing? Rebellion. When someone hears it and they don't want to hear it, and so they do the opposite. Go left, and so they go right. I heard you. I heard you. You said go left. I didn't want to go left. No one tells me what to do. That's worse. Oh, I don't know which one is really worse. They're both frustrating. Let's put it that way. Isn't that frustrating even with your own children? Did you hear what I said? I said, turn off that TV and get to bed. And they sit right there. Bam, bam. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And Indians and cowboys are going at it, huh? And you could pick them up by the ears and carry them all the way to the bedroom and they'd be peeking around the corner to see that last gunshot fired. That's the same way we are with God. How many times do I have to tell you? I've told you time without number, time without number. And they're sitting there. Did you hear me? Yes, I heard you. I didn't hear you. You see what a dilemma it is to get up and preach? Nobody hears. Isn't that right? Did you hear what I said? Did you? On the radio on tape, did you? Oh, I don't know if you did or not. Did you? Did you hear it? Huh? It's a joke. People don't hear. And they can hear it, and they can know it, and they don't obey it. And they can quote scriptures like a parrot. But it don't mean anything. Oh, what a dilemma. Isn't it? Oh, God. Whatever are we going to do? Oh, the man that saw Jesus. Don't see yourself in what you are, but what you can be in God. There were the three people in Matthew, the publican, three different types. Number one, the publican, whom his associates saw. The Matthew whom Jesus saw, and who was right? Each one thought he saw the true Matthew. The Matthew, of course, that Jesus saw was the true Matthew, wasn't it? And as it turned out, a powerhouse for God. See, there's three people within each one of us. The one people see, the outward one, the one we put on. The one you see, the present you. And then there's the one that Jesus sees, that future you. Everything and all things hinge on which you that you center upon. Which one are you centered on tonight? The one people see? The one you see? or the one that Jesus sees? The outer, the present, or the future you? Because if you're centering on the you, your fancy, you will be in bondage to what others think about you. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? Was he talking to us on the radio? Yes! Tape two! Well, you see, like I said, if you're sharing on the you that your friends see, then you're going to be in bondage to what others think about you. Peer pressure. And you look around before that you make any act to see what effect your actions will have upon others. You won't say praise the Lord out loud. You won't, certain things you won't do. See, you won't act out of pride. You'll react to the thoughts of others and what they might think. It's like I talked to a gal. In fact, her name was Betty. Not our Betty or Mary or whatever. But they said, oh, Betty, you're always laughing and you're always so happy. What a blessing you are. I happened to be over there when someone, the phone rang, and someone said, yes, they just hit your car. And she looked around and, oh, praise the Lord. She looked around first. Your kid just threw a brick at the kid across the street. Oh, praise the Lord. Maybe someone later called her up and said, you know what, your hair looks like a rat's nest. And she looked around again. But I'll venture to tell you one thing. As soon as that person or people left that place, she was running to the mirror to take a look at her head. But then going on to the yous that you can center in, if you, the next center upon you, you know. If you enter upon the person that you know, the you that you know, and we all got to know that we have a part of us that we really know that nobody else knows. Know what that'll get you? Discouragement. There is a you that only you know. Be encouraged. There's a part of you that's so nasty, God doesn't even let you see it. He's the only one that sees it. Says so in the Bible. No good thing. Say amen. But are you centering upon that you? That you know? You get discouraged? I do. I don't center upon the me that me knows. Do you center upon the you that you knows? That'll discourage you. How many would be discouraged if they centered upon the one that they really know? Because we all have skeletons in our closets. Don't we? You all have skeletons in your closets. We all know how hateful that we are. We all know that on our own self, the shut-ups that are way down deep inside while we're talking and smiling at the same time, we know. We all know that if our lives were, this is your life, panoramic, we'd all be caught with a whole lot of red faces. No. We need to get centered upon what God has for us. The Jesus you. The one Jesus sees, the you surrendered to God, cooperating with God. God sees that. Don't you see that in your children? You're not discouraged when they do things wrong and they're just toddling around, are you? They look around and they see if mom and dad are watching, and you told them, no, and so it just builds up a desire in them to do it. No, and it builds a desire. And you go out of the room and say, oh, I got to do it. I got to grab a hold of that coffee. And you come out, I told you so. Huh? And then they're encouraged and they'll leave you again. And you put the coffee there and they go out. And it's real quiet in there. And if you look out, the kid is just reaching for it, but he's a little more careful this time. Huh? And they'll look around. But something tells them, don't do it. The voice of experience speaks. Hot. No. And so the kid, you look around, and then he catches you, and he says, no. Isn't that right? God says no to us a lot of times, doesn't he? And we keep saying, okay, until we feel that he's out of the room. But he's encouraged because he sees a Jesus you. Don't you see your child, and don't you see them progressing when no one else can? And the kid says, yeah. Did you hear him? He says, the bus is coming. He did. Plain as day, didn't you hear it? He said, number 19's coming. No one else can hear it, but you can hear it. The same way with the Lord. No one else can see you changing, but God is. God knows. He's seeing in the future you. Isn't that wonderful? He said, bus 29 is coming down the track. It's coming down the old lane. And people said, he didn't say, that was just all baby talk. Huh? And even when you're real mean and everything, say, oh, there's so much good in that little child. What good? He's a monster. You know, when I was a kid, they always blamed me for everything. I did about 75% of all the wrongdoing, but there was 25% that I didn't do. And even into my adult life, they came from another shop and they came down and they said, well, they said there was someone down here that had their feet upon the desk acting like they owned the place. And this was in another building. We just figured it was you. I says, I hadn't even been in the building. But I said, if I would have thought of it, that sounds like a pretty good idea. That would have been fun. You might as well give them what they want, I thought. You know what I mean? But see, God saw something in me. I couldn't see it. My mother and my dad saw it. Oh, he's a good boy. I was behind bars. He's such a good kid. I was up on the top bunk with about 200 kids that were the nastiest in the state. They had to lock us all up. But there's so much good in him. And I never believed it myself. I was looking at the present self. I was saying, what's good in me? I'm never going to make it. Now, the other people would, you know, they'd look at my past. Well, look at the record. But someone was encouraged. My parents. God was encouraged. And that's the way God is with us. You can be a real stinker. You can be a non-listener. And God has a way of opening up our ears to hear through hardships, through all kinds of things. through experiences, through hot coffee, through stumbling, falling, trials and tribulations and mistakes and sin. Oh, I know preachers don't like that. Oh, you're telling people to go sin so they'll get experience. I didn't say that. I'm merely stating a fact. You learn by getting burnt. Some of you young girls listening on the radio, you learn by getting burnt by Johnny O with a lock of hair hanging over his face. Three-piece suit and the Italian shoes and the sharp tongue. But you learned, didn't you? Jesus, hallelujah, cooperating with God, taking His resources and working life out together. I remember my folks come and got me up at the boys' school. I was 13 years old. And they come and got me out. And they says, come on, Paul, we're getting out of here, and it's all going to work out. You just wait and see. And they ran me back in the cafe again, and oh, man, everybody was a whispering. It didn't bother my folks at all. I said, hey, just keep right on going. It's going to work out. It did for 3 or 4 months, and I just sort of wandered off the road again. You hear what I'm saying here? But they never were discouraged to the point of giving me up. Never. And it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. Once He has you, He will never let you go. I know that because I'm feeling His Spirit all over my body, and I know that from experience. Loosed! I was loosed into a loosed me, and you can be loosed into a loosed you, a free you, in harness with Jesus, and the positive yes, Lord plan. Yes to the Lord is the action you must have. It works. Yes, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me a you that does things beyond our own capacities. A you that amazes you. A you that amazes others. A poised you. A progressive you. A productive you, a loving you, a sharing you, a caring you, a I hate sin you. This is the real you. This is the one that Jesus is perfecting in you. So what have I said there? Center our Christ you, and you'll become what you're centered on. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Jesus takes the has-been yous. Jesus takes the down-and-out yous. Jesus takes the hateful yous. And Jesus takes his I'm sick of everything yous. You know what the Lord gave me one time? He says, make a U-turn. U-turn. Paul, just make a U-turn. You're going the wrong way. You're so hateful and bitter, and you're thinking about the past and how you've been robbed of life and all that. He says, turn yourself around. Make a U-turn. In other words, turn to the right you. So I was going, you have to make a U-turn and go to the right you. Head towards Jesus. Maybe you've been on the road of what people think of you. You. Make a U-turn. See, the U-turn is up to you. You got to make the turnaround yourself. Maybe you're going along with someone that's going the wrong way, and you're going along with them and just make a U-turn. Huh? Make a U-turn. That's like I was looking at this artist. He had this great big lump of stone there, see? He was doing this sculpturing. And I says, well, that doesn't look like anything, really. He says, I don't care what it looks like to you. I know what it's going to look like. I've got a plan. Here's the plan right here. Here's exactly what it's going to look like. You know what? I got all that. God can change a stony heart. Our adventure in life is God. Turn around and come towards God. Doesn't the Bible say that we're hidden in Christ in God? Oh, to explore God. To go into the heart of God, that great pumping heart. Who can fathom? Who can get over or around or under the love of God? I believe we've got to start losing our littleness in God's bigness. It's like going out into the middle of the ocean with a little rowboat. Or you have this engine on there. You got a 35-horse engine, and you're on this lake, and probably it's only about 15 or 20 or even 50 acres across. And you're powered up. Boy, look at that thing cruise. Hey, we've got to turn. We're going to look how quick we got to the other side, but get in the ocean. Don't feel so big then, do you? It's got all it can do to stay afloat. Let's trade in all of our old ewes tonight to that brand new, exciting ewes in God. Are you hearing me tonight? Let's go to John here. John 1 and 42. He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John, and you shall be called Cephas," which is translated means Peter. And the next day he purposed to go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me, fisherman." Now Philip from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law," listen to me now, "and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything thing come out of Nazareth, any good thing?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." I mean, there's a whole lot of ewes over there that aren't no good. I mean, that's the way we see it from past experiences. Can anything good come out of that country, Nazareth? And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I saw you before. I know you. Nathanael answered him and said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." That little bit of believing opened it up. He says, "Now you can see even greater things." Oh, if we'll only open up when God, we know God knows our heart when we're sitting underneath that fig tree. Maybe we're even planning some kind of wrong. But if we'll only believe, God says, well, now you're going to see greater things. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Oh, my. And then Luke 19 and 1. And he entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man called Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was of small in stature. And he ran on ahead, and he climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to the guest of a man who is a sinner. We all know him, don't we, Greg? Don't we, gang? And he goes, yeah, we know him. He's a sinner. He's no good. But Jesus seen something else in that person. And Zacchaeus stopped and said, Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. He was seeing his present self. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. The you that you see, the you that other people see, or the you that Jesus see? That is the question tonight. I'm taking the you that Jesus sees. We got to see people not after the flesh, but we have to see people after the Spirit. We have to see them in the Spirit of the Lord and what they can be. We've got to teach people to look beyond self and go to God. Sometimes I find, though, that people look at themselves while they're in God. They look at themselves so long while they're in God, they forget that they're in God, and they start looking to themselves while they're in God. And they can get very proud because they're in God. I'm in God, and that's how cults start. Cults center upon self-cultivation, and these people are lifted up for a moment. They go down and they chant and they get all hyped up for the moment. But you know what? They're left limping for the rest of their lives, stumbling for a lifetime. Don't center on yourself or you'll lose yourself. Whatsoever, no, it says, whosoever will save his life, centering on his life, loving it even for the purposes of cultivating and improving it, will lose it. If you're trying self-cultivation, and you're trying to further yourself in your own cultivating, in your own wisdom. So many times people will get into books and read about somebody else and try to fashion their life after this person. Oh, I'd like to be with this, like this person, and go into the deepest, darkest swamps of Africa and just give my life in there. Well, God didn't call him to it. Looks like a noble thing to do, but God didn't call him to do it. How many are hearing this? How many times have I done that? I started to think about Peter as I was getting ready for this message. He looked down at his walk. He was walking on the water, see, and he looked down at his walk. Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Hey, guys, look. Oh. He started to center on himself and how he had improved. And he got his eyes off of Jesus. Did you ever try to say to yourself, you know, you got a real dry mouth and you say, salivate, let's say, let's call it that. Salivate. You know, nothing will come. But you start to think about roast beef and potatoes and gravy and buttered corn and hot buttered biscuits, maybe a little clam chowder. Now, I know all these people are going to go out tonight and eat, but, you know, You get all these things there, you know, and you start thinking. And, you know, all of a sudden it just automatically takes hold, and you start to get moisture in your mouth. You start to flow, and if you start to think about Jesus, and you start to lift up Jesus, you'll start to get cultivated. See, you can glance at yourself in God, but you got to gaze at God. It's all right to glance at yourself. That's enough. But you gaze upon intently upon the Lord. That's where we go wrong. We start to gazing at ourselves. See, because the law of losing one's life to find it runs through everything. Jesus said, consider the lilies, how they grow. And I thought, how do they grow? Do they grow by being self-conscious? Do they grow by being fussy? Do they grow by trying to be beautiful? Do they? No, they look at the sun. And in looking at the sun, they have a sun-centeredness, and they grow beautifully as they center on the sun. They just look right up at the sun. And if we'll look right at the sun, and we'll center ourselves on the sun, you know what will happen? You will become beautiful. You have to center on the sun. And that's working for other people. That's taking care of the poor and the needy, and it takes you out of centering on yourself and you're centering on someone else. So well, that's the way it works. Consider the lilies of the field. Huh? Isn't that right? Did you ever see a sad lily? No. Have you? No. Consider the lilies. No, that's profound. Consider, no, look at the lilies is what I'd say. Look at the lilies. Huh? They're sun-centered. They don't look at their, wonder how my roots are doing, huh? My leaves, huh? No, they keep their eyes right on the Lord. Am I getting through to the radio audience? Huh? Now, radio audience, I have a mirror that isn't a mirror here, and it's got like a flower effect around it with a handle on it, and I'm looking right through this little lily thing, lily mirror. Are you hearing me? That's like these cults, these beauty schools, they're cults. They get the people centered on themselves. How they walk and how they talk and how they act. And they get them so self-centered, they ruin them. Or they build them up into an idol. Oh, God. Look at Elvis Presley. Isn't that sad? Look at all these people where they made them center themselves on themselves. The only way we're going to grow beautiful is if we center ourselves on Jesus Christ. We become surprisingly beautiful. You even surprise yourself. Are you here? You even become charming and beautiful. You know what happens when you center on yourself and you... Well, you know what you're looking at? First of all, a problem. Now, when I start to preach, I look at a lot of problems. I get up and I sit down here first and then it says, time for collection, and we all clap, and then I get up. I walk up and I pray before I come up here. And I look out and I think, my God, problems. Problems. Now, do I look at the problems or do I look at Jesus? Look away to God. Oh, away up yonder in the land of God. All-time healer, Savior. Look away, look away, look away, look away. You got to look away and you got to look on to Jesus. Are you hearing me, preachers out there? My God, start to look to Jesus. Hallelujah. See, we all got to become a part of God so that we can become a whole. See, we gotta preach against sin, yes, of course, but we gotta have our center as God. We gotta have use our resources, and our resources are hidden in Christ and God. Something in closing here really helped me one time. I was pondering on the kingdom of God is among you, and the kingdom of God is within you, and the kingdom of God is at your door, and all that. The Lord spoke to me and he said, remember that you don't merely belong to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God belongs to you. And there was the fact. And here is the fact. And if you'll grab a hold of that fact, it'll turn the tide from defeat into victory. The kingdom of God belongs to you. The kingdom of God speaks when you speak. Remember, I'm closing. Remember, the kingdom of God belongs to us. Grab that tonight. You know what will happen when you grab a hold of that? All of your hesitations and all of your fears will leave. Because when we have merged our interest in the kingdom of God, and I mean if we are entirely surrendered, if you speak not representing yourself, but the kingdom, then all the powers of the kingdom centers in you. I was over doing a TV program. What was it? Thursday night. Last Tuesday night. And I ministered the gospel message. It went on for like a half hour, and the gospel message came out about twice. And the Spirit of the Lord was moving. Oh, God, it was great. The Spirit of the gospel was going forth. Hallelujah. The power of the gospel unto salvation was going forth. And the girl afterwards says, okay, cut. She says, oh, that was so great. Well, she got filled with a gospel message. And her sister said, oh, it's so wonderful. And the guy from the control, he ran around from the controls. He says, wonderful, great. It was great. And I thought, well, I says, what you're seeing here is the powerful power of the gospel on the salvation. If Jesus is high and lifted up, he draws all men unto himself. And two girls, the woman that did the interviewing, grabbed my hand. And the sister grabbed my hand. And the guy ran out from the control room. And the kingdom of God was speaking entirely through me. And so, therefore, the kingdom of God belonged to me. And therefore, I could speak that which belonged to me. And they came out. And I said, now, you've heard the gospel message, and what you're full of now is the joy of the Spirit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you born again? And this was right in the TV station. They said, but we're all Catholics. I says, we're going to pray. When they got done praying, the one girl says, oh, we prayed. And the manager came in. You should have been here. You really need it. We all prayed in here. Wasn't it great? What had happened to them? They got saved and filled with the kingdom of God, and the devil had to move out of their lives, and the bondages had to move out of their lives, and they were free, and they were unshackled, and they were unburdened. Praise the Lord, and it's a great miracle. And oh, why do Christians have to get so ungodly dry? when things like that are happening, it makes me sick right down to the toes of my feet. Are you hearing it? My God, it's exciting following Jesus and see the kingdom power working through you if you only believe. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Oh, and you know, off that program, somebody's going to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's going to be here in about a month, but I know the power of God was on it. You could have seen him. Oh, oh, and the guy from the control room running out. You know, that was great. That was great. Wow. Huh? It was a simple gospel message. But it was done with the kingdom power within you. It's a mystery, the gospel. A mystery, but it works. Takes over. The kingdom invades. When you go into a place and you're filled with the Spirit of God, it's an invasion. That's why people feel like you're invading their privacy. Hey! You are. You might as well tell them the kingdom of God has landed. V-Day. Isn't that right? And if you believe that, my God, if you believe it, it'll be so. Stand, having done all, stand on the beach. Parade dress. And if they come up and ask you what you're doing, saying, oh, the kingdom of God has landed. Here's the message. Here's the terms. Give your life to gain it. Well, can't we negotiate this? We'll give you half of our country, our man's soul. Nope, it's all or nothing at all, right? That's it. No negotiating. Jesus wants you, just like Uncle Sam. Jesus wants you. Who, me? Well, I don't know. You don't know much about me. Well, Jesus knows about you, and he's encouraged. He is? Well, he hasn't talked to my friends yet. He isn't concerned about your friends, what they think about you, or what you think about you. It's what he thinks about you. Here's the terms. Jesus did it all. All you have to do is receive. Do you believe it? Well, if you put it that way, yes, I believe it. I agree, I am a sinner. Yeah, I guess I do need saving. And that's how you get people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, by just believing. God, just believe. Whew. Isn't that wonderful? But we forget it, and we just get all puffed up in knowledge and things, and scratching our head, getting all knowledgeable and stuff. Baloney. No Christ crucified, buried, and rose again. That's all you have to know. It's all you have to know, and that'll give you joy. I don't believe it. Well, then it won't happen. That's not kingdom talk. I believe is kingdom talk. I can is kingdom talk. Not I can't. Right? Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? You can have him tonight simply by believing. Honey, are you born again? Are you born again, sweetheart? Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Maybe somebody listening on the radio or to this tape isn't born again. Are you born again? Okay. Maybe someone that needs to know the Lord. And maybe you're sitting there and maybe you even make fun of me. You listen and you make fun and so on like that. But that's all right. That's okay. At least you're listening. And maybe you need to come to Jesus. Maybe you need to see the you that Jesus sees. Perfectly whole, with no guile. Jesus has seen you sitting underneath that fig tree. He knows your whole life. He's seen you before you even came. He's seen you before you even turned the radio. He knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. Oh, God, I tell you, when you start to think about the mysteries of God, it just gets to you, doesn't it? That's why I can honestly say I know nothing. Be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all. I'm just glad to know nothing at all so I can learn just a little bit more about the Lord every day. I want to tell you one thing I've found out, that following Jesus Christ is about the most exciting adventure there is. But you got to keep right on believing. Right past all of the turmoil and all, even the you that you see. Even the you that someone else sees. And you have to believe the you that Jesus sees is not wanting. Is without guile. You have to believe that he's looking ahead. He's encouraged with your baby steps. Didn't you feel good when you went to your parents and you did something good? Mommy made my bed. No, the thing was crooked and the pillow was in the middle of the bed, you know. Huh? Teddy was laying there in a big bulge in the middle. Oh, that's beautiful. But then when you got to be 10 years old, you couldn't pull that. You had to make that bed. And then you go in the army and you have to bounce quarters off them. You know. There's got to be improvement. But God is willing to teach. All you got to be is willing to hear. Did you hear this message tonight? I know the Spirit of the Lord was on this message tonight. You know why I know the Spirit of the Lord was on the message tonight? Because it wasn't me preaching it. Never is. I would hate to get up and preach my own message. And I think Paul says, woe be it to me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I feel the very same way myself. Woe be it to me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe. Because when we preach the gospel, the kingdom within invades people's privacies and their little hiding places, and that searchlight of the Lord comes out and reveals things. But it always brings truth and it always brings freedom. Praise the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for this wonderful group of people that you have here at Disciples Ministry Church Mission. God, we are so encouraged by what's happening down here. We thank you for the opportunity to minister and feed poor folks, Lord. And Lord, we know right now that we're not to concern ourselves with what we see in ourselves, but what Jesus sees. We are encouraged, Lord, that you see more than we do. Help us, Lord, right now to see that which you want us to be. And just in part, Lord, a step at a time, we want to change every day. God, help us as we just now rely upon the word and as we walk in the way, in Jesus' name, the way, hallelujah. Thank you for these wonderful people that you brought here. Bless each one, each one. Oh, God, we pray for the bread ministry tomorrow, Lord, that many souls will come to know Jesus. Oh, God, we just pray that you anoint the different ones going out on the street to minister the truth, Lord, and to just give out that word of encouragement, Lord. We bind the evil one that will try to defraud and try to defame and try to misuse and cause problems. Lord, we just lift it up to you right now that you just go before us now and open up. Send ministering and warring angels right down Emerson and Broadway, Lord. We claim that whole area for Jesus Christ right now. We're making an invasion in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, right now that you're arming chariots of fire round about, Lord, in that great big area all around the north side right now, Lord, as you bring in them horses that are just biting at the bit. And, Lord, we see them rearing up and holding right now. They're holding ground, and they're all round about chariots of fire. Right now, we claim mighty warring angels in the spirit of Tababala Honda, Shapabala Hondo, Rupabala Honda Lahonda Yekedi Yando, Subai, Lakalahando Balahonde, ministering in warring angels and the spirit of salvation and the spirit of Tababala Honda and the spirit of joy to be there tomorrow, Lord God. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord, right now. We're depending on you, Lord God, to go before now in Jesus' name, Lord. As you have prepared the way, Lord, help us to be faithful, Lord, right now to minister that word. In Jesus' name, open up those hearts and open up those ears, Lord. Unstop those ears right now and open them eyes. In Jesus' name, thank you for them chariots of fire round about the whole north side. Thank you for them mighty warring angels, 9 foot tall and taller, Lord. Spear in hand, hallelujah. Satan, we bind you in every evil force of drugs and prostitution and all these pill-popping people, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord. These devils, we command them to get their hands off of these people right now as we see saved and whole in the mighty name of Jesus. We see the north side right now as an example. Hallelujah, Lord. And yes, right out of the north side, there are good things coming. Hallelujah. Can anything good come out of the north side? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Lord, right now, we pray for the young folks and for the moms and for the dads down here. We bind every evil demon to alcohol and every swearing, cussing spirit we bind in Jesus' name. And Lord, loose upon them that which you have already seen in them, Lord God. Perfect and whole and wanting in nothing in Jesus' name. A word of encouragement, Lord God, to all of our folks down here on the north side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty works you've done. Thank you for all the food you're bringing in and the funds, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the people, Lord God. Thank you for the commission of going that you've commissioned for us to do down here in Jesus' name. And we are excited. Lord, right now we want to lift you up and we want to praise you. Hallelujah. Heal those brokenhearted out there, Lord God. Encourage them, Lord. Heal the sick and the blind and the halt. God, move upon them right now. Move upon the waters in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hey, something's happening out there right now. Just by believing, something's happening. Yeah, the whole north side right now is alive in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. There's warfare going to be going on. But it's an invasion. Isn't that great? It's an invasion. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, God. Well, you are kind of nuts when you start believing. Huh? That's what people think. But it's believers that got light bulbs going and all kinds of things. They call them nuts. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What would you like to sing tonight?